Hey gang, it's Wes Gardner from Brothering Around, and this episode of Brothering Around is brought to you by Audible. Your friends at Amazon have some audiobooks for you, over 180,000 of them, to be exact. And if you go to audibletrial.com/brotheringaround, you can try a free trial, 30 days free, and guess what? An audiobook for you to keep forever on the house from your boys at Brothering Around. That's audibletrial.com/brotheringaround. Oh, internet. It's that time again.
Classic Wes.
That's right. Yeah, we had to get the internet in there. Speaking of, I was thinking about old, like, Nitro Beard Beardcast episodes, and I was like, I have to bring that back. I have to bring back the internet shout out. Oh, so funny. It's so ridiculous, because it's weird how things like that can just happen, like catchphrases that don't even start as a thing. And then you say it a lot, and then people are like, oh, you're the high internet guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know?
I had that thing going, like, more than a few times in my life. I used to say, like, Skittles, as to, like, call it, oh, man, that you guys got some skills. Trying to be, like, cool or something. And then, like, and then I was in a phase where I say, oh, dang, a lot. So, like, I had, like, my AOL... It's the messenger screen name was like that. Oh, dang guy.
Yeah. God, I'm trying to think about old just riffs that I would do. If I listened to old stuff, I could probably find them.
Right.
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there is. Oh, I used to call everything scandalous. Like, okay. No matter what
that,
it was.
That does sound familiar.
No matter what it was, I'd be like, that's just scandalous. Scandalous. It's like scandalous is such a strong word.
I remember you like would end like a discussion like kind of some semi whispering like scandalous.
Yeah. And I would always say how dare you. I remember I was on a how dare you kick as well. Yeah. Even if it was something nice, and there's an episode I need to find it. There's an episode of Nitro Beard where Brian Bolita like introduces me, and it's really nice and sweet. Mm-hmm. And he's like, "Here's the guy that made." You know, Nitro Beard what it is, and you know, he's our backbone and all that stuff. And then after he was done, I said, how dare you? And everyone burst out laughing, and he was like, what do you mean? All that stuff was nice. It was good.
Oh, man.
People are just weird. Like, human beings, we're just finding this out. Human beings, we have the weirdest habits. And
our quirks and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Funny. But how has your week been, my friend?
My week has been not too bad. Not too bad. Watch Fate of the Furious, Fast 8. Or,
ooh.
Or can you get... Can you guess it?
Oh, you broke up a little. What was it? Can I guess what?
I'm sorry. So, can you guess the Japanese title
without looking it up? Okay, so what were the other ones? It was like... Fast Cars, so Maximum Fury, and it's like, so what were they called?
Wild Speed, and then such and such. Yeah. Wild Speed, such and such. So, let's see. I think the last one was Wild Speed Sky Mission. And now, if you haven't seen it from watching the trailer, what can you get your... What do you think it would be called, Japanese title?
Oh my god. Okay, so in the trailer... They're on kind of a tundra looking thing, and that blows up. But they're also in a jail. I would call it Jailbreak.
Jailbreak? That's pretty good, actually.
Because it has The Rock like arming people, and like Jason Statham, they have the showdown.
Yeah. Yeah. Not that, you know what? That's not bad of a name, but it's not Jailbreak. It's called Ice Mission, because
of course, naturally,
you know? Of course, yeah, the most direct thing, you know. I watched that, and
it's called Igloo Commando, is what?
Oh,
it,
yeah, there you go. That there it is. Much better.
Igloo Wild Penguin Igloo Mission. Penguin narrator. That's what it is.
There you go.
Perfect.
Yeah, so I watched that. I can't deny it. I like the Fast and Furious movies. They're just fun action, you know.
Oh, sure.
You know
what I mean? Especially absolutely
now that you have The Rock and Jason Statham in that cast. So they had like really good banter, or like funny banter, like Stone Cold and The Rock would have with each other, or like Rock and Triple H, or any of those Attitude Era guys with each other. Gotcha. So
heck yeah.
Yeah. So it was fun action movie. If you're a fan of Fast and Furious and you're not one of those guys like, oh my God, why is it up to 8? Like, dude, don't worry about it. Just watch the dumb stuff.
You know? Just shut your brain off. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. And, like what and sold I know there's me, people that can't do that, but it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. What sold me on the series, and you know, I was kind of a fan of it. I saw Too Fast, Too Furious in theaters, which was a grave error on my part. And like, so I've watched some of them, but the one that got me back is whenever I realized that there's a scene to where The Rock is in an arm cast. And then to get out of his arm cast, he looks at the camera and flexes the fucking arm cast off. Yeah. And it shreds. It doesn't just like slightly fall off. Like they did CGI to where this thing splinters. It holds on for dear life. And then I was like, I'm all in. I'm about all of this right now.
Yeah.
That's it, man.
Yeah, that scene was hilarious. I left my ass off. I was like,
it's so good. Yeah.
Go ahead, Rock. That's fine.
That's fine.
Go ahead, Rock.
And then the fact that I can't remember which one. It was probably Fast Five where they were they kind of ad-libbed the scene to where The Rock goes over to somebody's house and they're like grilling out. And whenever he's coming in, Tyrese is like, oh, here comes Hobbs. Somebody hide the baby oil. And and then he says, and it's not scripted. It's like a riff. It's an actual riff. And then The Rock looks over and says, oh, there's, what's Tyrese's character's name?
It's escaping me now.
He says like, oh, somebody better hide that big ass forehead. And Ludacris spits out his drink because it was all ad-lib, like took him way off guard. I was like, all right, I'm in. And the fact that they kept it in the movie, I was like, okay, that's on. That's good. Good times. Oh, man.
Yeah, Tyrus's name was in the series is Roman.
Roman, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
And Tyrus is hilarious in the movie, so like it's all good. It's all fun.
He's good, man. I didn't know this. Tyrese can sing his ass off. Like, I knew it. He has his career and stuff like that, but he was on the film version, and I guess he did this too. I need to fact check this, but he did the Broadway version of Rent, the musical.
I didn't know that actually. I just knew about his music
career. And he was on Rent.
He's an actor.
And he was fan freaking tastic.
Okay, like, cool.
And that's like Broadway musical stuff. And he was on the money on it, man.
Yeah.
Good.
Yes, I knew from the music career and then his Coca-Cola commercial. And then that's how I knew of Tyrese.
the biography of Tyrese is all you
can. Right.
The memoir. Just him on the cover with the Coca-Cola bear.
Music.
Just like chilling out.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, did watch that. And then I've been went boxing back to back. Like I did last week. Ooh. And I have a little bit of a gripe, a little bit of venting going on because Q old man yells at cloud here. I went yesterday, right? I went yesterday to get my workout on and get some boxing in. So yesterday I come in, I started jumping rope, and there's a bunch of the regulars that come in. Mm-hmm. They're in the 5:30 class. And I'm minding my own business, jumping rope, and then like probably teenagers. At least I see them from time again. Will come in, and we're all supposed to be jumping rope to warm up, right? They're not jumping rope, okay? Oh. All right, I was like, wonder why these guys are not doing anything. But anyway, so like, they're not jumping rope. They're talking to each other. I was like, why are they talking? You got to warm up and stuff. And so they start talking about Yu-Gi-Oh cards. I was like, what? Oh, shit. Why are you in a free boxing program, a free one that's like I don't think that's like this. A free boxing program is pretty rare, in especially here in the Hayward.
Yeah.
Why are you in a free boxing program to talk about Yu-Gi-Oh cards when, you know, you should be soaking up everything that you can learn about, you know, how to be, you know, how to throw a punch and like how to, you know, be a, like a better fighter or just to be more conditioned or whatever. But these guys were talking about Yu-Gi-Oh cards and not jumping rope. They're just like having fun and laughing and stuff. Like, and I don't know why, but this was getting to me. It was irking me
sure.
the fuck out.
Yeah,
it was irking me. I'm like, dude, what are you guys doing? What are you guys doing here? So, in my head, like Bernie Mac was like starting to play in my head when like Kings of Comedy. Like, you motherfuckers better start jumping rope.
Oh, yeah.
Like, anyways, like, yeah, like that was irking me that night and then that day. And then, like, we started warming up, and then we ran, like, last time I was talking about it, I think last episode, I was talking about we ran 3 miles, and I was, like, exhausted. This time yeah. around, I was like, okay, we're going to push it a little bit. We're going to run 4 miles. I was like, son of a bitch. I wasn't looking forward to this.
Right.
So, so we start running, and, like, I'm not so much trying to, like, be, like, the head of the pack. I'm just trying to, like, pretty much coast, because, like...
Survive, yeah.
Survive. I'm just trying to survive, because, like... Running on a treadmill is one thing. Running on like actual terrain and
Earth,
street.
Yeah. Earth is unforgiving.
It is very unforgiving as hell. So like, yeah. So I'm just basically trying to survive. And usually when we do these long runs, I usually come in last, and it's not so much of a race, but it's like, you know, it is what it is. I'm not so much of a fast person because sure. I'm a bigger guy. I'm just
right.
trying to finish what we're going to do. So
yeah,
like,
yeah.
We start running, and you know they all run ahead. I was like, okay, I'm just going to try to follow the person that's in front of me, and hopefully not lose them. And I actually basically do lose them because they are way far ahead, and I kept like you know doing like not so much sprinting, but like faster than jogging, but then like breaking,
yeah,
and walking. Anyways, yeah, so I end up losing them, and I'm trying to figure out how to get around because you're going to turn left at the Napa Auto Parts, and then you're going to turn left at Laurel or Princeton right. streets. So they're okay. Anyways, yeah, I'm the last one left. And even before we even started, the guy said, okay, if you guys can do it, go ahead and run the 4 miles. If you can't, just run around the school and then, you know, come back to the area and then start doing strength and conditioning. So yeah, we're in the middle of running. Everybody's up ahead. And I'm the last one there, and it takes my entire time of the entire class to finish, right? And I see all these people, especially those kids that were talking about Yu-Gi-Oh cards, like, you know, all up in the boxing pads and punching the bags. And I was like, these motherfuckers, I can't believe these kids.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, I'm in my head, I'm like, I'm a little bit talking smack because, like, I'm like, dude, you guys did not do the 4 miles, like, come on, you guys got to be joking. But anyways, yeah. So I did the 4 miles because I am no punk bitch. I'm gonna do it.
Yeah,
I'm gonna do the entire thing.
Yeah,
I'm gonna get it done. You know, I'm gonna do the work. So anyways, yeah, I got defeated that night, and I was like, I'm done for today. So I come right. back. I come back today. We just do 1 mile, but then I got into the I got in like a good like not so much time, but like I finished before people. So like.
Oh yeah,
I was
yeah.
able to get my boxing in, and yeah, that is that. But,
good
yeah,
deal, man.
Like you fucking kids, what are you guys doing?
Yeah, freaking kids just coasting on these millennials. No, I don't know. I'm gonna go on my big old man tear.
Oh man.
No, here's the deal about like distance running and stuff, and I have to tell myself this too. The one time over the past 5 years I ever went distance running is
yeah.
At the end of the day, you know, you ran 4 miles, and it doesn't matter if everyone else beat you. It doesn't even care if they lap you. It doesn't matter because at the end of the day, you ran 4 miles. It's yeah. that old saying, like, you know what they call the person that graduated last in their med school class?
Mm-hmm.
They call them doctor. They don't give a fuck. Like, you graduated.
Yeah,
you're exactly. still a doctor. Like, you did it. Congrats.
Yeah.
So you ran 4 miles. Like, that's all that on paper. You can write it on your resume. I did this. I completed it. And that's something to be proud of.
Yeah.
Because ain't no way my big ass is running 4 miles. If you gave me a year and a half collectively, I could maybe run 4 miles.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Oh, and then the thing that we do in the boxing classes, we do like body sparring. So basically just body punches and nothing on the on the face. So today's class, I was looking for them particularly. I was looking for those kids.
It's like, I'll show you my trap card.
Because we were talking about beating up kindergartners. And anyways, so I was looking for those kids in particular, but like none of them showed up. I was like, of course you do, guys.
Just be all. Anyways, just do it. Just do a hidden kick and just be like, here's my blue eyes white dragon. And then like just. That's the only Yu-Gi-Oh card I know, by the way.
Johnny Cage shadow kick or something.
That's right. Just hover across the mat like. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. So like we did body sparring and none of the guys are there, but like I got matched up with another guy who doesn't really take it as serious, but I don't know if it's just him or he's overwhelmed with stuff. So I was like, all right, man, I guess I'm gonna take out my frustrations on you.
Yeah, you're the victim.
So like the guy like I was up against, he's like, what, we have to hit each other? I was like, yeah, that's kind of the point. It's in boxing. Yeah. So
what? Oh, this isn't like, yoga class?
There we go. Right.
Why are people hitting one another?
This is not Zumba?
Oh. This isn't Taibo? Man. Oh.
No, right.
Freaking Taibo, man. Yeah. Tell you what, though. Billy Blanks is a legend. That guy's ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Even though, he created Taibo. I mean, he made do that.
He's the real McCoy. He was like 4 or 5 time world sparring fighting champion or something. Like
Billy he Blanks was doing the open circuits and like he was taking fools out, man.
Didn't he?
Even though it was just like point sparring, still it's like you got to have fast reactions for that.
Oh God, yeah, you do, because you're going up against the best in the world. Like you got to be pretty good to get wins on your record. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
that's pretty much me, man.
Good stuff. Mine was, I finally got a video put up.
Yeah. Like, there you go.
Did that Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions.
Yeah. I was like, and I saw that, I was like, oh, that's awesome. Shattered Dimensions. That's the multi-dimensional Spider-Man game.
Yeah. So cool. 4 different Spider-Man, and that's probably, I would say that's the episode of West versus Backlog I'm probably most proud of, because there's a lot that I did for that one. Like, there's a whole bunch I did for it, because I had to record Maximum Carnage footage. Mm-hmm. I had to get screen grabs and figure out the stuff about the Activision pulling the rights to sell the game. I had to, like, dig in. I even played the DS version of Shattered Dimensions. Oh, really? So, like, that's in there. So I compare and contrast all the games. And, like, it's on another level. Like, I finally had a goal in mind. And I was like, okay, here's what I'm going to do. And the cool thing is, I think that video sets the stage for kind of every video in the future. Like, I have my Game of the Year video that I'm real proud of. And then I have this Spider-Man one that I was real proud of. Mm. And that's kind of the quality that you're going to get the whole rest of the time. Like, that's kind of the foundation now. Like, okay, here's so the way it's going.
Videos will be spaced out, but then the
quality is going to be a lot
editing
better.
Editing is going to be, okay, cool.
And I will say probably the next video I do is going to be a commie log, another video blog, because I got some cool things to show, and it's going to kind of reveal what the future videos are. So it's all kind of, now there's almost like a continuity that I'm going to do. To where I'm going to, in the comedy log episode, I'm going to refer back to the Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions video. Yeah. But then, talk about some other stuff. But the editing is better. Mm-hmm. I feel more comfortable with the technology I'm using. The footage is way better. It's full 1080p, 60 frames a second, like crystal clear picture. So I figured out the render settings and how to make it look good on YouTube. And So yeah, I'm real happy with how it turned out.
Yeah, those like video blogs in itself they're pretty easy to do. You just know you're going to record yourself and talk, and
yeah,
maybe you're going to show something here and there, but basically you're just talking. Yeah, they're easy to do, but they're also fun because you don't have to like set a lot of things up.
That's true. It's almost like this.
You want to do?
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, it's like a podcast almost. You're just kind of talking to the camera and you're talking about general ideas. But then whenever you go to those heavily edited, like West versus Backlog, like whenever you have to dig in and you have specific footage and it has to be timed a certain way, and it's a way different skill set. But it's fun to kind of stretch out. So you kind of do a little bit of that, a little bit of this, and you get better at all of it as a result. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, that's it. Yeah. And I'll be planning, I think the Commie Log, I'm going to record one this weekend. So that should be up by the next time we record. So I'll spit those out pretty quick.
I need to do a vlog myself just to keep up to date.
Yeah,
up to date with people that subscribe.
Let's catch up. And I'm excited because I feel like both of us are, the quality of our videos has gone up exponentially. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like your Dragon Ball wrap up or like rundown video was awesome. And then my new West versus Backlog, I think, is better than all of the other ones. So it's like we're finally getting used to this YouTube game.
Right.
Putting out quality content. I mean, we were before, but now I really do feel like those two videos in particular kind of like set the stage going forward. Like, okay, now the videos are at least this good, and now they're going to be, even better.
Yeah, of course, man.
Good stuff, but I only really had the one main topic I was going to cover this time, because I'm going to, you talked about the whole old man yells at cloud thing. Like, this is my version of old man yells at cloud.
I mean, there was a bunch of fighting game announcements.
Yes. Let's talk about that first. Yeah. Fighting game announcements before I go on a crazy tirade.
Let's see. Ed was announced for Street Fighter V DLC season 2. Mm-hmm. That's your third, or that is your third character, fourth character. I don't know. He was a person in story mode. He was like, if you follow Street Fighter 4, he was like the baby Balrog found that's supposed to be like a possible clone for Bison to use, to use his body.
Yeah.
Anyways, grown up teenager has limited psycho power. He's being taught by Balrog, so he's like a psycho power boxer in a sense. That's the idea that's going to come around. But yeah. He's the next DLC character announced, and then Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite.
Yeah, man.
Story trailer was revealed, and like a little bit of the gameplay trailer, gameplay was shown as well today.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So what was it? Ultron Sigma. Ultron from Marvel, Sigma from Mega Man, doing like a little fusion dance, being the final boss. Infinity Stones are in the play. And then let's see, the people that were revealed was, if I can name them off the top of my head, Hawkeye, looking like Johnny Cage, Thor, let's see, Rocket Raccoon, Mega Man X, I think.
Oh, wow.
Mega Man X, let's see, Chun-Li, Ryu, Iron Man, Strider. Strider was like a big proponent in that trailer. Chris Redfield, RE5, Chris Redfield.
Yeah.
Let's see, who else? Captain Marvel, Hulk, let's see, anybody else? And then if you count, in terms of like a DLC character, if you count Sigma by himself and then Ultron by himself, those are other characters that were announced. And I want to say Captain America, of course. And I want to say that's pretty much it for right now. Looks great. Looks like Marvel vs. Capcom. And Infinity Stones are in the play. And everybody's extremely hyped to want to know more about this game. So
I've seen some screenshots. I don't think I saw the trailer yet, but I saw the main screenshot. Yeah. I saw Mega Man was getting attacked. Was it by like Magneto or?
No Magneto shown yet. I think that was Ultron Sigma.
Oh, maybe so. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the graphics look really good. It looks like it uses kind of the same engine. It might be using the Street Fighter 5 engine. I don't know. But it looks like
I want to say it's using a mixture of the MVC3 engine.
Okay.
Yeah,
I mean those
are like maybe aspects of MVC1 because it's just two on two, you know.
Oh yeah, I see.
With like,
yeah, but it. I mean, screenshots look pretty slick. I need to actually watch the gameplay reveal type stuff on it. And
oh yeah, you should definitely check it out. It's pretty hype just to get it, just to see anything because people were worried that like what's going on? Like there were people were worried like as if. Like it was going to be like another like Tekken Cross Street Fighter where you just don't hear anything and people are wondering what's going on with the game. So like now you see something with Marvel versus Capcom Infinite.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I still need to pick up Ultimate Marvel versus Capcom 3 for Steam. I need to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I probably just wouldn't play it a lot online. Yeah. It's like $20 I think. And then I just do like story mode stuff and just capture footage of crazy combos and. Mm-hmm. Be fun.
That's
a very bright, that whole series has always been very like colorful, like very bombastic, you know.
And you know what, to not so much to segue to what we're gonna really gonna be talking about, but that, like that's a game right there where not much story is shown, but they're changing that with this upcoming game. So
yeah,
I guess they're going full hog with story mode and stuff. Single player.
But, and we're gonna kind of talk about that here in a second. I would argue that the actual game part of Marvel vs. Capcom is more story. We'll discuss it because, I guess we could just hop on into it. There's an article out, and I have it on my Twitter. I retweeted it. And it mentioned that we were going to talk about it today. And it's by an author named Ian Bogost, who's a guy I'm actually familiar with. I want to say one of my good friends used to work for him or was like his apprentice or something as far as like writing.
And you were under this guy at one point?
Like I think one of my friends was. But it's a guy that's been in the industry for a bit and... he's written for a lot of different freelance things, and he, you know, this is a post on The Atlantic, reputable place, and the name of the article is Video Games Are Better Without Stories, and he puts that film, television, and literature all tell them better, so why are games still obsessed with narrative? And... here's the thing. The article, basically what he's saying is that, okay, games don't tell as good of stories. Like, if you compare a story of a game to a story of a book, the game loses every time. And on that, I agree with him. That might get me some hate mail, but I think he's 100% accurate on that.
You've been on record saying that, going through games, you're not too much into the story rather than like, you know, the books that you've read are more story driven than video games are.
Yeah, because video games are about doing, right? That's the entire idea of what a video game is a player interacts and does an action that causes a consequence. Like, that's what games do that nothing else can. So games that do that really well, I think, are kind of the future for this whole narrative in gaming. Like, hilariously, almost 10 years ago, I wrote for 1UP, I did some blog posts, and talked about this exact topic. Like, verbatim. It was about stories and narrative in video games. And my argument was, the stuff that people bring up to me about the story of a video game is never anything that deals with the game. So they'll come up to me and be like, well, what do you mean games don't have a good story? Do you remember in Final Fantasy VII, the cutscene where, you know, Vincent did blah, 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 and then I would be like, well, you're telling me about the movie.
Right.
Like, you're telling me about a cutscene. But then people would be like, well, the writing and the dialogue, well, now you're telling me about a stage play. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you're telling me about things, other forms of telling a story that are inside of a video game. So, like, cutscenes are movies. Music, of course, is just music. Dialogue, and, like, people talk about BioShock and, oh, listen to the voice recordings. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, that's a radio play. Like, that's all that is. It's like Kabuki theater at that point. You're just... So I still think the main thing, and this is my problem with the article, is like, I agree sort of with his point, but he doesn't really make a point. He just kind of talks around himself a lot. And I'm like, if you're going to say something, man, just say it. Just say that games are bad at it, because they are. Because they are too reliant on other forms of storytelling. So people will always bring up, RPGs, the RPG is so good. Planescape Torment is one of the best video games ever created. I loved Planescape Torment, but make no mistake, it was a book. Like, there are something like 50,000 lines of dialogue in that game. That's just an audiobook that you kind of click on. You know what I mean? Like, you get this story, but it's delivered by text and by voice acting. So yeah, it's an audiobook, which it's a very good audiobook. Don't mistake what I'm saying, but it's not, I don't know what's a game about this, but it's funny because you brought up, you know, Marvel versus Capcom and, you know, how, you know, there's not a lot of story to it. I would argue that the story of Marvel versus Capcom is like, if you and I had a best of three, like, that's your story.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
oh, that's... you were on the ropes and then I tried to do a combo and you countered it. And then like, I think that's the story of Marvel versus Capcom 3. Is what happened. Like, tell me a memorable thing about Monopoly. and it's not going to be, oh, that one time I moved the piece four spaces. Mm-hmm. And what it's going to be, that's the context. So, like, that's what happened. But then what happened? Like, then so-and-so got so pissed they flipped the table over. Like, that's your story for Monopoly. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a little weird that this basically made me feel like somebody's complaining about the story of a book because of how fast they turn the pages. You know, it's like a weird idea that sort of misses the point. I'm like, no, video games, in my opinion, at least the stories of them are, what do you do? What did you do?
Yeah.
Not what was shown to you or what you heard or what you saw. What did you do? That's the cool part. And and I would argue that's why games like the original Sonic the Hedgehog are so beloved. But then whenever they started adding all this weird shit to it and they tried to make it like, now Sonic makes out with a normal human woman. I'm like, what the fuck is this? Like, I thought he was the blue thing that collected rings. Like, that's what I thought Sonic the Hedgehog was. But now he has like a twin brother and all that. And I'm like, no,
and he likes none of chili this. Dogs and...
Yeah, he's, oh, big fan. Tails flies planes. Get it? Because he likes to fly. And I'm like, fuck all this. Like, this is dumb. Just give me the game to where I get to jump real fast. Like, that's the story of Sonic the Hedgehog. Is I got through this level super fast, and I only had one ring, and I fought Robotnik or Dr. What's his face? Like, what do they call him?
Eggman.
Eggman. There you go. So, I had my one ring and I needed to fight him, and it was a super difficult fight, but then I kept getting my one ring back. So he would hit me, but I would run and grab the ring before it disappeared. And then that's the narrative. Like, that was the other thing. Is this guy talks about stories and games being bad, but then he just talks about narrative. And I'm like, that's two different things. Like, story is what happens. Like, Billy lost a dog. Billy found the dog. Now Billy and the dog are reunited. That's a story. How was it written? That's your narrative. Like, how did you tell the story? How was it brought about? And that's what video games can do really well, is they can narrate. You act upon the world around you and create the story. That's why stuff like Grand Theft Auto is such a big hit.
Oh, right, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And like, oh, Jesus, look at Minecraft. For God's sake. Like, that's a perfect example. Like, what's the story of Minecraft? Who fucking cares? I can tell you what happens in Minecraft is crazy stuff. Yeah. Like, I built this big thing and I blew it up with TNT. Like, that's why that game is so successful, is because you're building a playground for, like, water cooler moments that you get to discuss with people. And I think that's, it's just basically a way to re-emulate Dungeons and Dragons, right? Like, that's kind of the goal of video games forever, is just to get that D&D, let's discuss this and tell a story together vibe. Like, that's what video games are supposed to do. And, but then whenever you add all this crazy stuff and, like, I think I love Metal Gear Solid. Like, you know me, man. I adore Metal Gear Solid. I think it's a terrible video game. The whole series are dreadful video games. Now, Metal Gear Solid 5 kind of improved it a little bit because the stuff I was able to do, I could tell stories about it. But the actual, like, big boss, and he killed his leader, the boss, who was a Russian spy, like, holy shit. Like, I'm all about it, and I know it like the back of my hand, but it's not very good. Yeah. I mean, it's just not good. And yeah, at a certain point, you have to be honest with yourself about what do you really mean by gaming stories are bad or gaming stories could be better? Like, okay, what do you mean? Do you mean the cutscenes in video games could be better? Or voice acting? Or literally the point A to point B? Or do you mean the gameplay? And what happens? And do your actions really have consequences? And because that's a different conversation. You know what I mean? Like, so articles like this, and we'll link it in the show notes and all that good stuff, but articles like that are kind of these weird navel-gazing, oh, wouldn't it be neat if, you know, sometimes I like to think about these things, but it doesn't say anything. So you just leave kind of with a sour taste in your mouth. You're like, I don't know why I read this. Let me read this. Okay, because we're big on, like, reading random paragraphs that don't make any sense. Let's read a paragraph that doesn't make any sense. I know what he's trying to say here, but this reeks of he wants to hear himself write. Like, he wants to read his own writing and realize how smart he sounds. And I'm like, there's no need for that. If I were an editor, I would take out this entire paragraph. Because it means nothing. It means nothing to anybody.
He's trying to put himself over.
Yeah, exactly. He's a mark for himself. And okay, so here we go. So he's talking about a medium, like a vessel to expressing yourself. So here we go. Think of a medium as an aesthetic form of common materials. Poetry aestheticizes language. Painting aestheticizes flatness and pigment. Photography does so for time. Film for time and space. Architecture for mass and void. Television for economic leisure and domestic habit. Sure, yes, those media can and do tell stories, but the stories come later, built atop the medium's foundations. What the fuck are you talking about? Like, that was nothing. That was a paragraph of nothing.
Yeah.
Get to the point.
Don't tell great stories. Yeah.
It's like, okay, sure. Yeah. To make a movie, you have to film it. No shit. Like, no fucking shit. That's what. What is the point supposed to be about this? Like, that's what drives me up a wall. It's like, he has a point here and he never says it. And I'm like, it's true, man, because, and video game developers, in my opinion, have it rough. And the reason why is they have to invent everything. Everything. So we talked about it before. Okay, so a movie director, nowadays, hell, your phone is a good enough video camera to film a movie. You can film a feature film on, like, a Samsung Galaxy S8. Like,
on a GoPro.
Yeah, a GoPro. Exactly. You can make a narrative on a GoPro. But what video game developers have to do is essentially they have to reinvent the video camera. You see what I'm saying? Like, before they can even start, they have to build a game engine. Like, imagine if before you directed a movie, you had to hand build a camera.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's crazy.
Create the sets. And...
Yes, there would be way less movies. Way less.
Totally.
Because who has the time? Like, imagine if, you know, and you could argue this is already the case, but imagine if you had to invent the concept of sound before you could record it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Or you had to build the microphone
to
pick up the sound. It's like, who has time? Like, nobody. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Right.
So with video games, I think to get to whatever level this guy wants him to be, people need to just use one thing. So whether that's something like Unity or Unreal Engine, or people need to decide on one, and then they can use the one. But people are so worried about the latest and greatest technology and trying to get all this other stuff in there. I think, you know, his main point of video games are better without a story, I kind of agree with that, because once you start trying to shoehorn a story in to, like, tell me the story of Eternal Champions. You don't know. There's no story in Eternal Champions. What are you talking about? Like, it's a fighting game. But, you know, and even
you,
as...
you won't know that until you start reading the manual.
Yeah, right. They needed to make... They needed to make a 5-page manual, and they only had one page with a button layout. So, like, oh, shit, how do we fill out the rest of this manual?
Yeah.
Let's make up a thing about space and time and, like, putting it in there. But then you get stuff like Tekken or Street Fighter that, you know, it's such an ongoing series.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, I'll ask you this because you are kind of the Street Fighter person.
Sure.
Do you think that the story, so stuff like Ken and Ryu being rivals, and then, you know, their mentor Akuma and all this, do you think that Street Fighter needs a story? You know what I mean?
You know what? Yeah, like, no, it doesn't need a story. But, like, me personally, because I'm a fan of the game, I'm a fan of the story. Even if it's hammy as hell. Like,
sure.
Like, the running joke is, like, Akuma can't seem to kill anybody, and he has the Raging Demon. That thing is supposed to kill you.
Right.
That thing is supposed to kill you. It's like Ghost Rider's penance stare, where you're like, Ghost Rider's going to stare into your eyes, and you're going to see all the, like, say, sins you committed, and then you're going to basically, like, burn and melt away, right?
Yeah.
And so, that's what the Raging Demon is. But yet, the running joke is that Akuma, every time he uses the Raging Demon, like, they're gone for, like, a bit, like, in a coma, but they seem to, like, return back to life, and they're all well and good. Like, oh, man, I just fell asleep, and I'm all good now, and I'm all buffer, and I'm buffer than I was last time. And
yep. That's hilarious.
Akuma, you had one job.
Right.
You didn't do that right.
This is your purpose, and then it misses the boat.
Yeah. Exactly. So, it doesn't... Games like Street Fighter, it doesn't need a story, but because they start sprinkling in there with, like, the game manuals and, like, translations from, like, Japanese interviews and stuff like that, you kind of piece together the story. And then, like, Street Fighter V, they decided to go, like, hey, let's put a good full blown story mode, because people want to know what happened between Street Fighter, because Street Fighter V is before 3, but after 4. And then Street Fighter 4 was after 2, but before 3. So, like, you know, there's missing pieces of this timeline that they created.
Yeah.
So, again, it doesn't need to happen, but because you're a fan of a genre or of a game, like, you're fully in, so you kind of want to know what's going on and what's Ryu's motivation, stuff like that. But
yeah,
and in its base, it doesn't need to be, because, like, Street Fighter 1, there was nothing going on. You just fought each of these fighters in whatever continent you were at, and that was that. You won and became the champion. And that was that.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Mario. You were just going through levels and then find out that you were trying to rescue a princess from a big, like, scaly, you know, spiky turtle person. And that's that. You know? Yeah.
And I will say, kind of, Mario's a great thing to bring up, because they never changed it. Like, it's still that story, right? It's still Mario has to go fight Bowser to get Princess Peach.
Yeah.
Like, That's what all of them are. And that's kind of genius, right? And then the actual story of it in context of like a video game.
How you play the game.
Bingo. Yeah. Like, what? How did this level go? And oh my God, it was so close. And I almost died right there and I ran out of time. And like, yeah, that's the story between Mario's is how does Mario Galaxy's gameplay change from, you know, and I find that all very interesting. I think discussing what the player does is super cool. And I think that's what sets us apart from every other medium is interactivity.
Yeah, and I think people tend to forget that part of like the person actually playing the game is actually the story itself. Because I can tell like general people will like, you know, either like is either a fan of a game or a story. It's like, oh yeah, but you know when like this happened? Like you said, they're talking about a cutscene. Like a checkpoint where they went to, and then they go on to talk about the next part,
Bingo. Yeah.
But like, what about the journey to getting to that?
Yes.
Like, what did you as the individual do to get to that point? And then it could have been different. It could have been different from what your friend did to get to that point. Like same, like what you were saying with Grand Theft Auto, like there's a point to get to where you need to get in the checkpoint in terms of the story, but like, what did you do to get there? That's the story.
That's exactly right. That's what we've talked about before is let's say we gave somebody a mission like, okay, they hand me and you a roadmap and they say, you guys need to meet in 3 days in Arizona.
Yeah.
And then we're like, well, how do you get there? Who cares? Just get there.
Let's get there. All
right. And then whenever we get there, then we compare stories. See, that's a story. It's a weird kind of esoteric idea. Like the whole thing is just kind of cannon fodder, in my opinion. It's just a way to get people riled up and, this is going to get people talking. And hell, it got us talking about it. But
Sure. My Twitter timeline was blown up like about video game stories and are they necessary and stuff. It was like, what about sure, back then it was fine to not really have a story, but like now it's, like video games use like all these other mediums to tell their story or like to like flesh out their story. But like, again, how you get there, how you play it is what the story is.
Bingo.
And I was I was thinking about something. I'm not forgetting, but I'm trying to think of what I was trying to say.
Cause Todd EVF brought up a really good point.
Oh, yeah.
And he said a word. Well, first he said it was all very subjective. Everything, this whole idea is subjective. And I agree with that, but he brought up one key word. And I think it encapsulates all of what this is context. So the cutscenes and the voice acting and the music give context to the gameplay. So like you need the motivation on why you need to go save the princess.
Right.
So let me show you the movie of Bowser kidnapping the princess and Mario feeling upset. So that's your, that's your deal is that's your context. That's your motivation. But then the actual story and the narrative is how you play the game and how you get there. And it's funny because Ian Bogas, during his article, actually brings up BioShock. And he was like, oh, BioShock does a bad job of it because, he says the stuff about the voice recordings just being like just there and it's audio. And then he talks about something, and he's so close to hitting on the point of what BioShock was, because BioShock was a game about this very idea. It was a game letting you know that you had no choice but just to do exactly what the game maker wants you to do. Right. Like, it was specifically made to where you had to follow orders, and it was kind of a meta commentary on video games and telling stories. It's like, no, you really don't have a choice in the matter. You have to do it because that's what gets you your checkpoint. So if you want to get further in the game, you have to do things my way or not at all. And that's the beauty of BioShock, is it makes you think about that idea of, oh, maybe games could be more if I really had a choice.
Mm-hmm.
But then you get into the whole, how do you define choice? And you could argue that the reason why movies and books are so effective at telling stories is they give you no choice, none.
Right,
You are passive in that experience. That is happening, and you are seeing what is happening, or you are reading about what has already happened. They are a vessel of information. I think whenever you add in the interactivity, that's where it gets fishy. That's where it gets where your definition changes a little bit. Because imagine watching a movie if you paused it for an hour every 5 minutes. You know what I mean? It would be the same content, but that's not the best delivery for that, right? So that's kind of the same thing of what a video game is. You see your cutscene, you play for about an hour, and then you get your next cutscene. So, like, is this just a movie you keep pausing? Or, you know what I mean? Like, what's the goal? And I guess each game is different on what they really want the goal to be. But, but yeah, that's why it's an interesting topic. I'll put it that way. Like, it's something we could talk about for a long time. But it's just something that I found interesting because the way he brought it up was very bizarre. I was like, I know what point he's trying to make, but he hasn't made it yet. And then the people in the comments are all butthurt. And then, but I feel like they're almost butthurt for the wrong reason. They shouldn't be upset that so-and-so said games have bad stories, because they do. Like, that's not even, in my opinion, that's not even a subjective thing. I just think game stories are terrible, like, just in general.
Yeah.
But that's sort of the fun. It's like the same reason we like the Fast and Furious movies. Is we know they're bad, but we're all in on the joke. But what's interesting to me, and I think you and I are kind of the same way.
Oscars, but action's fine. Action's fun.
So perfect example. This I think seals the deal as far as what our point is, at least on my end. The story, in my opinion, for you playing Suikoden, is how you rigged the shit out of that gambling system. I think that is the coolest thing about that video game. Genuinely.
The exploit,
yeah, I think that is the most hilarious. Like, when I think of Suikoden, and this is not exaggeration, when I think of Suikoden now, I think of you running that freaking roulette machine and, like, wearing it out. It makes me laugh.
In his three dice game.
That's it. Yeah, man. And he's shaking it, and then you're like, nope, I'm going to load it. But do you think the developers thought that would happen?
No.
That someone would be out there just gaming that system. But here's the deal. I think Suikoden is a successful video game because you are able to play that way.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Right. You can play it the way you want to and get rewarded for it. That's the story of the game. That's what makes Suikoden so cool. It's like, I could just break this shit. And you're able to. And it's fun. And the game isn't broken because of it. And, like, it rewards you. And, you feel fulfilled from it. And it's something so minute and so small in that game. But it can make that whole experience. Like, I love level grinding in Star Ocean 2. I love it. Do you think that any of those people at Square Enix, they would go crazy if they watched me play that game? Because they were like, we spent so much money on this music and making these cutscenes, and this fucking guy just wants to run around and, like, chop up enemies, like level 4 enemies for 20 hours. That's all this guy's doing.
Tag team specials and stuff.
Yeah, that's it. I'm just doing combos and that's it. And then they are probably going nuts because they're like, oh, but the story. And I'm like, man, the story about Star Ocean is I love to grind in this game. Like, that's your story. Print it. You know?
That and, like, these two people can't seem to tell their own, like, feelings with each other. And it takes the world to end to be able to do that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, but it's an interesting idea, right? It's something that we want to hear from you guys out there. We want to hear, do you think that we're off the mark on this? Do you legit think that, oh, stories literally mean here are the name of my characters and here's what they do and, you know, here's when the music plays and then I felt sad and that's a game story? Or is it more kind of what we're talking about, more of the what did you do as a game player? Like, I think the world has to be enriched for me having been there. That's sort of the litmus test for it. Like, I think the world of Suikoden is enriched for you being there because now you're a millionaire. Like, in that game, you're a millionaire. And, like, things wouldn't happen. I guess some games are like that, to where it almost feels like, why am I playing this? If this story was going to happen anyway, you know? Right. Like, sometimes I feel that way about Mass Effect, just the whole series. I'm like, so why am I the person?
Yeah.
And, like, the writing's good, and there's good character moments and things like that, but it's like, no, this is just, you know, there's a Senate, and they made a decision, and now I have to live with the decision, and, like, now I'm kind of a bystander in this whole thing. Like, the story's happening around me, but I'm not really part of it. Kind of that same thing, even with the Witcher games, I kind of feel that way. I would say the Witcher games get it a little better. Like, it feels like you're making an impact, but it's still, you're kind of a passenger. Like, shit just happens around you, and they're like, oh, Witcher, come fix it.
Right.
Okay. My house is on fire. Witcher, come put it out. Okay.
Yeah. Something I became, I guess, like, a fan of, like, at least, I guess, recently. But the only game I know that does this is, like, White Knight Chronicles. Mm-hmm. Is that your creative character, you're not the main character. You're the support character that's with the main character.
Yeah, that's right.
Going through the story, and he's becoming the White Knight. And I mean, I only beat the first one, but like, there's something seems to be happening with your character, or it resonates with your character for whatever reason. But I like that. I like the fact that your creative character is not the main hero. It's this guy, but you're just going along for the ride. So you get to see what's going on around you. And then, as we were talking about, like, as you play the game, you're making the story, like, how'd you get to wherever you ever got to? And what did you use? What weapons did you use? Did you go like a big giant great sword, or did you go like sword and board type of thing? Or that game style, at least I like that. I don't have to be the main character or the main hero per se. I can be along for the ride, because that's generally what like the video game feels like, or video game story feels like, is you're along for the ride. It's not you in the passenger. It's not you in the driver's seat.
Yeah. You're a passenger. And I think we're past that point to where the player has to be the main hero about everything. And I think it's fun, because then we can break up stuff like Dark Souls.
Yeah.
Like Dark Souls, you just kind of are there, and the world is shitty, but your character is a vessel for how you play it. Like it leads you in a direction, and it's very punishing, but you have to learn to adapt. And I think the story of Dark Souls is, that's why it's so genius, actually, isn't because, oh, you can like look around and kind of soak in this narrative around you. I think it's more of the story of Dark Souls is you learning how to play Dark Souls. And that character makes progress because you as a player got better. So like you're getting better, therefore your character or your avatar in the game is getting better. Therefore you're able to go farther, which sounds really basic, but you'd be amazed at how many games don't work like that.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a game recently that's good about like just throwing you into the world is like Breath of the Wild. Like once you start, you're like, they don't tell you exactly where to go. They just say, go. Just do whatever.
Bingo. And go. And you could get to the last area of the game at the very beginning of the game, but you're going to get your ass handed to you. So the thing is, what is your story to get to the end of the game?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
What are you going to do to get
to great the example. Game? That's a great example. Yeah. And that's why it's so effective, because we don't have a lot of games like that. And now people are playing Breath of the Wild, and it's like, oh, this is a game changer. This might be the best video game ever created. And it's like, well, no shit. Because guess what? It values you as a player. Like, this world would not be different if you didn't exist. Like, you know, that type of thing. Like, you are making an impact on the world around you, not because you picked a dialogue tree option, where you basically did a choose your own adventure novel. Like, your physical being there makes that happen. And that's where the beauty of it is. Like, that's why I love Deus Ex so much, because there's so many hidden things based on how you're playing the game that there will be times you will talk to people after Deus Ex and you'll be like, oh, did you get to save the hostages that were up in the jail cell in Area 51? And they'll look at you and be like, there was a jail? Or they'll be like, yeah, there was a jail at Area 51. Like, they have no clue. None. It's like you just spoke foreign to them and they're like, well, I don't understand what part. And then they go back and they're like, holy shit, I missed all this.
Right.
That, to me, that's where it's at. It's like, because you and I can compare stories on Suikoden, and you could teach me how to gamble like that. And then that's where it's at, man. Like, that, there's nothing better on the planet than a video game that has that as its main crux of getting you into it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the good stuff right there. Like, the best parts of Metal Gear Solid, there's one part in particular that's better than, well, two parts that are way better than all the rest. And it's because it literally uses you as a player. The first one is great because Metal Gear Solid 1, the whole game, you're going to stop a nuke from going off, right? So you go and you collect the key cards and you do all the stuff and you get through all the stuff. And then you physically have to go in and you physically have to activate these buttons. Well, then what happens, plot twist, you activate the buttons, you end up launching a nuke. So you were a pawn the whole time. So this crux and the voice acting and all this stuff led you to be the bad guy. You didn't know that. So, like, haha, they got one up on you. But they used the fact that you went out of your way to do this thing against you. And I was like, good on you, man. Like, that's what it's about right there. It's just because you existed and did an action, now you have to live with the consequences. And, like, that's as video gamey as it gets, man. Like, that's awesome. It's just interesting. It's a cool thing. But that's what makes the entertainment medium of video games so interesting, is that you do get that dynamic input. And that's it. That, there's no other media form on the planet that's like that. Just games, you know? Just games. You know, you talk about a D&D session. Everybody's D&D session is different.
Of course,
You know what I'm saying? So that's how it should be. You're given obstacles and then you have to overcome them. So how are you going to do it? That's your story. That's it, man. But good. I mean, good chat. You know what I'm saying? Like, I knew you and I would agree on this because we've talked about it a bit before. But now we have a whole new audience, you know, for brothering around. And I want to hear what their thoughts of, like, those two guys are fucking idiots. Or if what I'm really hoping comes from it is that, oh, I never thought of it that way. Like, I want people to come back being like, oh, no, I see what they're saying. Because once you start thinking of video games that way, you're going to find them a lot more enriching. Like, it's going to feel better playing them because you're like, okay, I'm doing a thing. I feel like I'm part of this now instead of I'm a passive bystander and, you know, people are reciting lines at me and it feels like I'm on a stage play and now, oh, it's time for my line. Let me click on the good option because I'm a good guy. Like, that's not to me, that's not a video game, right? That's a, sure, it's a story. You're telling a story, but you're not using the interactive part because, at that point, it's just a choose your own adventure book.
It's giving you choices,
So turn to page 70 instead of page 40. That's not an interactive experience. Like, you're just, you're reading a different page.
And that's when like the gameplay is what gets you from the get-go or it can lose you. If the gameplay sinks you in and you love it, then you're all in basically. You're all in for whatever. Like even if it's like the dumb stuff.
Street Fighter, perfect example. Street Fighter. That gameplay has been on point for 30 years. And it has the dumbest fucking story on the planet, but who cares? Who cares? because Street Fighter is awesome. And yeah. It plays so well, and it's so much fun, and it's competitive. That's, yeah, exactly. Like, you can deal with a lot of shit if the gameplay's good. Yeah. You can deal with a lot of shit. But if the cutscenes are beautiful, and the character voice acting is bombastic, and then it plays like hot garbage, what was accomplished here? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a little hard to like that one, yeah.
Yeah, it's not as good. I mean, and you could maybe even argue that that's why people are, quote-unquote, longing for the days of retro games. Remember when it was so easy? And yeah, like we said, Sonic the Hedgehog just got rings, and Mega Man just fought the bosses, and depending on the order you fought the bosses in, it made the other bosses easier or harder.
The other bosses easier, yeah.
Yeah, or you know what, basically, yeah, back in Street Fighter II Championship Edition, and you have all these old retro games, and look how fun they were, and we need to get back to that. Like, I agree. But I think it ties in because of this. Because they're not so bloated with all this fucking bullshit. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it is what it is. We're an industry of dynamics that may or may not get along with each other. It's, you know, people want everything. They want the best video with the best audio, with the best gameplay, with the best, like, Jesus, you know?
You want the total package, Lex Luger, basically?
Yeah. Right, you want Lex given the torture rack. That's what you want. Yeah. You want prime real estate Lex Luger. that's right. Because I'm trying to think of something that, okay, imagine if you only liked a book because of the paper it used.
Oh, gosh.
You see what I'm saying? Like, that's what we're talking about now. Like, well, you know, the book is great and the way the story is put together is awesome. But, you know, the cover was made out of polyurethane. And I don't think, like, what the fuck, man? Like, no.
Adamantium.
Yeah, it's like, I would have really liked that movie. But the thing is, the camera they filmed it on was a Sony camera. It wasn't a Panasonic, so
yeah.
Who cares, man?
Was it a Nikon?
Yeah, that not. You could tell too. Oh boy, could you tell? Like, come on. Like the seats weren't comfortable enough, so that way I'm gonna give it a bad review on Rotten Tomatoes. You know, it's like you're not talking about the same thing. It's like So. To me, stories are always a backseat in video games. I do not play video games to get a good story. Never have, never will. I want to have fun. I want to hit some buttons. I want shit to explode. Yeah. That's why I play games, period. Now, I think games are interesting when they try to tell good stories and good narrations. And, you know, BioShock had that meta commentary. And, okay, these are cool ideas. Let's discuss them. But to call them, like, good stories, I think is a misnomer, in my opinion. I mean... And hell, I could probably be wrong, but it's.
I can agree with that. When I think about it, because like when I think about games like Yakuza, it's pretty basic story in its sense. But when you get into the gameplay and you're nearly killing everybody, like with heat moves and stuff.
Oh yeah,
that's where the charm is. That.
Like, oh yeah, man.
How am I going to use this big ass bike and throw it onto a person and
bingo.
Then, do like a Bruce Lee stomp afterwards, like,
and then you're gonna laugh your ass off, right? You're gonna laugh your ass off because it's a freaking, it's a great gimmick. So and then of course the cutscenes and the voice and stuff is context. Mm-hmm. It's framing all of that gameplay. So if you use that as an outskirts and here's your bounding box and here's why you need to fight Dojima and here you know you kind of give you a reason to do it.
Yeah.
Then the gameplay feels more enriching, which then leads to a better story of here's how I played the game, you know.
Yeah.
And hell, people talk about the story of Shenmue.
Yeah.
What fucking story is Shenmue? Like, they killed his dad.
His dad. Landy has a mirror or is looking for a mirror. And then there's a girl. That's all I know.
Bingo. But that's all you need, baby. That's all you need. Because then you're in and you know what? You're playing games of Lucky Hit. Yeah, that's what that game's about. Try your hand at Lucky Hit.
Yeah. Right? And then you're training in like the docks and then you're working your 9 to 5. And then you come across like the only black guy in Japan dancing. Right? I mean, I still haven't played the game, but like I've seen a little bit of it. Like, why is it there's only one black guy in Japan? But anyways.
Oh my god. It's so true though. Oh yeah, man. So, but yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, but Shenmue's beloved. It's a beloved classic in video gaming. And why? Because of the story? Mm-hmm. Get out of here. No. It's because you got to like load a dock. You got to play that mini game. You got to do that experience.
You lived life simulator.
You legit lived
life simulator martial arts.
You could show up late somewhere by 5 minutes and they would not let you in the fucking door.
Yeah. I had that guide, even though I never played it, and I was like, they're like these characters are here at this certain time from this certain time. And then they're going to be in the next area and at this certain time. I was like, what kind of game is this?
Yeah, man. That's it. So that's your story, is you're trying to run to get to the place to like cash your check from your work. And then you show up 3 minutes late. So then you have to go buy some ramen. And like, yeah. So the whole thing, right? That's your story of Shenmue.
Trying to get out of, doing the rise and grind, man, of real life. And then try to find your dad's killer and like, when you have free time.
Yeah, just on the side. It's like, yeah, I need to go do my 25 cent, what are those little vending machines that have the little collectibles in them?
Like a Gachapon or something.
Yeah, I need to get my Gachapon. The dead dad thing can wait.
Yeah.
I gotta collect them all. This is what I gotta do.
Oh, man.
But yeah, I think that'll do it on that topic. But let us know what you think about this, guys, because I mean,
yeah, totally.
Yeah, I mean, Marco and I are kind of in agreement on the game is about what you make it. But I'd like to know what you think. I mean, if we're completely off base, let us know. But if you agree with us, let us know that too. Like, hit us up in the comments. You can also hit us up on Twitter. You can hit me up at twitter.com/commiedahobo. You can hit that man over there, Marco, over at twitter.com/marcopolo177. And also at twitter.com/nerdinthebay, go check out those Nerd in the Bay videos, man. Those intro to mobile games are where it's at. Yeah. That Dragon Ball wrap-up is also where it's at. It's so good, man. And yeah, more stuff. Go check out my newest West versus Backlog. Worked real hard on it.
Shattered Dimensions.
That's right, man. All the different Spider-Men. And here's a spoiler. Spider-Man Noir, my favorite one.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Favorite Spider-Man. Right. Yeah, man. Noir is good stuff. Cool. But yeah, that's it for us. We're going to be back next week for another edition of Brothering Around. But Marco, thank you once again, my friend. It's always a pleasure.
Of course. As always, man.
Yeah, man. We'll check it out. Go to comedyhobo.com for all the show notes, all that fun stuff, the YouTube archives, everything you could possibly ever want, all in one place. But until next time, guys, we will see you later. Bye.
Peace.